It has been a busy, busy weekend for your pastor. Friday night, drove to Buckhannon and Weston, right there in the middle of everything. And there was a West Virginia prayer vigil that took place up in at this church called Victory. And so I had the opportunity and the privilege to pray for, they had people in the center of the state surrounding, they had people that come up to pray, and I had the opportunity to come up and pray for Braxton. And then after I began to pray for Braxton, the Lord, there was a lot of preachers there, but you know, the Lord dealt with me about a couple sicknesses. You know, here's the thing, the church can't be effective if it's sick. Are you with me? The church can't be effective if the church is sick. And God wants the church whole, and he wants the church well. And so that's the purpose of what God is wanting to do with the Pulse Church, is to get, is for God to work and to get the church healthy, and so that we can go out and evangelize, because that's what the Great Commission is. So anyway, we had several people. I was praying for back problems, neck trouble, arm issues, and let me tell you something. God is a healer. God is a healer. People got healed up in Weston on Friday night, and I'm so thankful for what God did, and I just glorify him and just the opportunity to be a part. And then we had our men's prayer breakfast here yesterday. Sam Wayne spoke. We had such a great time, and we had the opportunity. The mayor showed up, and Richie showed up, and we got to talk with him, and of course, Sandy and Mike cooked, and it was phenomenal. We just had a great time. And then today church, and I'm telling you what, I've been full of God all day, but you know, and all week. But you know, the thing that when I got there on Friday night and the music began to start, I went in there and it's just like, whoa! It's like I didn't feel like I was living right. I just felt like. Somebody was taking their hands and just putting them down on my shoulders, and it's just like, you know, and I had to press through that. You know, I had to press through that. And see, church, what we have to do in our Christian life is that we have to press through those things, and this is what I'm preaching about, and I'm excited about this message. The fact is that we cannot allow our feelings to run our spiritual lives. We cannot allow our feelings and how we feel and our five senses to run us, because if we do, it causes us to be carnal, and that's what I'm preaching about today. Father, I thank you that you've given us the five senses in our physical life, but Lord, I pray today that you help us to not be led in the spiritual by our senses, by the way we feel and the way we touch. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that, Father, the people of the Pulse Church will get this message, and that I'll get this message, so that we can go out and Lord, when we're not quite feeling right, we ignore that in the spiritual, and that we walk in the spiritual so that we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And Father, I give you praise and I give you honor for that, because it is in the name of Jesus. I pray the gates of hell shall not prevail against me or anyone in this church. And Lord, help me to have the strength and energy to preach this message. And I glorify you and I praise you, Lord, for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 2 or 6 and verse 12, you've heard me many times reference this scripture. I want to give it to you in a different perspective, the way the Lord has given it to me. But the title of the message is The Five Senses. The Five Senses, using the Roman numeral 5. For we wrestle not against flesh or blood, but against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Spirit of the Lord wants you and me to not wrestle against flesh or blood. Our battle, God's battle, he's fighting our battle, is against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness. Do we believe today that there is spiritual wickedness in high places? Have you noticed that it does not say physical wickedness? Have you noticed that? It does not say anything about physical wickedness in high places, because physical wickedness cannot be in high places. It is in low places. What he's talking about, what is high, what is out there that we can't see. If we could only see the spiritual realm of things, if we could only see what is going on around us. I remember there in South America, been there 5 times, hope to take a team someday to go to South America. But one thing that I have learned is there is a spirit of sueño, and I don't know if you've ever heard that, in South America with some people. What that means is that when you begin to pray for somebody, they don't fall out in the spirit, they fall asleep. That's what they do. They fall asleep. It's called the spirit of sueño. And one thing that we have to be careful of is not to be falling asleep in the spiritual realm, because God is doing things. If there is ever a time for you to be praying, for you to be involved in what God is doing, it is now, because God is allowing our church to step into a new level, into a new level of where God is going to use the people of this church to see the deliverance take place that we have so yearned for in Braxton County. John chapter 4, 24, King James Version says this. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There has to be an honesty in your worship. You cannot be fraudulent in your worship. You have to be in spirit and in truth within your worship. That is how we worship. And what we do is our heart is worshiping. We're worshiping from the inside. But what happens is it manifests itself. Have you ever noticed that what goes on the insides of us manifests itself through the outward appearance? What's inside will come out. You stick around with somebody long enough, you'll see what's inside, because it will come out. It is important for us to understand that we are not in a physical battle, but in a spiritual battle. And the spiritual battle manifests itself in the physical battle due to the fact is that we get weary. All of us get weary. All of us get into a place of weariness. But you have to understand that the weary nature is the carnal nature, because you and me, now hold on here, you and me are not supposed to be weary. And if you are weary, then that's in the flesh. That is flesh controlled and not spiritual controlled. Why? This is revelation. Because your spirit is perfect, your spirit is healthy, your spirit never sleeps. Your spirit never gets tired. People say, oh, I'm tired in spirit. It's impossible. You can't be that way. Your body will get, because let me tell you something, there is nothing that your spirit lacks. You lack nothing in your spiritual realm. Why? Because that is where the spirit of the Lord is inside of you. And does God lack anything? That's where you answer, no. It does. Not only that, but does Jesus lack anything? No. Does the Holy Spirit lack anything? No. People say, oh, I'm so weary and I'm so tired and I'm just wanting a revival. Let me tell you something. Revival is something that should take place in your life every day, but you don't know what I'm going through. Well, we all go through things, but let me tell you something. God can energize you, and you can be constant, consistent in the battle. Have I figured that one out yet? No, but I'm working on it. I don't know if anybody here wants to finish this walk as a failure. I don't know if anybody here wants to finish their race as a failure, defeated. But I hope that you're here today and you are wanting to finish this race victorious. I want to finish it victorious. I want to leave this place victorious. And I want to leave this place knowing that I made a change in people's lives. Not only that, but that I helped change people's lives through the blood of Jesus, through Jesus Christ. But not only that, but I want to be able to walk away from here saying that I did what God called me to do. Can you imagine being involved in a ministry or being involved in something and God was not in it, and that it was wood, hay, and stubble? You can read that scripture. But yet the man be saved, but yet his works would be burned. Let me tell you something, church. I don't want my works to be burned. Just because it meets a certain criteria, or because that it makes people feel good. Let me tell you something. We want to be Spirit-led in our relationships. We want to be Spirit-led in who we are. We want to be Spirit-led in our church service. We want to be Spirit-led in our marriage and in our finances. If you say that you want to finish as a failure and finish defeated, you can do that by trusting your five senses. How many times have you ever started a sentence that started like this? I feel we cannot base our feelings. We cannot base our lives on our feelings. Because feelings are not always factual. Feelings are sometimes opinionated. And here's the thing with God. God is constantly consistent and wants you and me to figure out how to say, "But I got this going on in my life. I got that going on in my life. I got this." But see, that's where faith comes in, and God wants us to activate our faith and to mature our faith. And that's what I'm going to be teaching on Tuesday night at 6, starting this Tuesday. We originally, and please listen carefully, that we originally had talked about having it for the 20s and 30s. But, you know, there may be other people who want to come and be a part of it, because we're talking about extreme faith. And it's going to be on Tuesday night this week and weeks to come on Tuesday. And please be here for a part of this. Not only that, there is childcare through kids clubs. So we are excited about what God is doing. Tuesday night, 6 p.m. here at the Pulse Church in Gassaway. And I am just can't wait to be able to be a part of that. But we are talking about extreme faith. Let me tell you something. Faith is not physical. Faith is not physical. Faith is spiritual. And so if you want to build your faith, now here's the key. And this is something that you may not have thought about, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your spirit also has ears. I don't know if you realize that or not, but your spirit has ears. I know the voice of God. You should know the voice of God. You shouldn't have to second guess the voice of God. Well, is that His voice or not? Because let me tell you something. What you spend time with is what you love. And let me tell you something. I remember going outside and playing all day long, where you come in and you're just filthy and you've been playing. You wasn't playing video games, but you're out riding your bike. You was out playing. You was out having a good time. But I knew my mama's voice when she called for dinner. And I know my Savior's voice when He speaks and say, "Well, God doesn't speak to you." Oh, yes, He does. He will speak through His Word. He can speak through other people. He can speak through a donkey. He can speak however way He wants to. He can speak to you. All you have to do is have your spiritual radar and your spiritual ears tuned into Him so that you can hear when He speaks. It's so important. Because, see, if we walk with our five senses, then we're called carnal. And one of my mentors, James Ashworth, says that carnality is as dangerous as a rattlesnake in a baby's bed, and the church is full of carnality. That's why we don't see the move of God like we need to see, because people are walking in their five senses, and they're not walking in the spiritual realm of things. God wants us to walk in the spiritual realm of things so that we can worship him in spirit and in truth. Can somebody not say amen and say that's good preaching? That's what God's saying to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, I've given it to you in two versions. It says, ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy, strife, division, are you not carnal and walk as men? See, here's the key to what God is doing. Now, understand something is that I got saved when I was 11 years old. And we've celebrated 30 years in ministry. I have seen the good, the bad, the ugly. And I've seen reruns of the good, the bad, the ugly. And what happens is, most of the time, when churches go through a split or when churches go through some kind of thing, it's always a power struggle and a control issue. Many times, that's what it is. And so what happens is God is saying in the scripture here, what we are learning is that ye are carnal because there is division, because there is strife, because there is envy, because there is malice, there's because of all these things, because there's control. Let me tell you something. It's amazing to me how easy it is to find somebody who wants to do a job that is openly displayed. But it's amazing to me that people don't want to do the jobs that are behind the scene. There's a carnality there that we have to crucify. There is nowhere in the Word of God that it says that the flesh is good. There's nowhere in the flesh in the Bible that it says that there's anything good in the flesh. Anywhere in the Bible that it talks about the flesh, it says it needs to be crucified. It needs to die. Your flesh needs to die. How it dies is we begin to walk with Jesus in a way that we've never walked before. We walk in the sanctification road of looking for areas of our life that where God is not pleased. And then turn that over to him, surrender that to him, and then move on and not do it again. But then there are other things. Isn't it amazing to me that there are some people that when they got saved, they just gave up drinking? But then there's other people who got saved, but yet they still struggle in that area. You say, well, where I come from, I don't even want to say this, Barb. I got to be real careful. Maybe I don't, but when God saves us, told somebody this yesterday, I said, you don't have to make a change one in your life. You don't have to change nothing in your life. You just come to him as you are, and he will change you. But there are some people that absolutely love God and can't get rid of the bottle. There are people who love God who can't get rid of the drugs or this, but they love God and they're trying to get rid of this. They're trying to pursue and they're trying to get close to him and they're trying to move forward to getting their relationship with God. Let me tell you something. Doug Smales said this. It said the reason why people are addicted is because they love the addiction more than they do God. Because God can deliver you and set you free and deliver me and set me free and deliver all of us and set us free from areas that we struggle in our lives. But we cannot walk carnal. We have to walk spiritual because we wrestle not against the flesh, but the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness of this world. People that believe and once in grace, always in grace. People that come in and they get saved and they come to church and then all of a sudden they disappear and you don't see them anymore. And what people say many times, they say, well, they weren't saved in the first place. I've heard that so many times within people's lives. Let me tell you something. There are some of us have trouble getting it right. There's some of us that have trouble getting us right. Everyone has an area of their life that they struggle in trying to get it right. But you know what? God doesn't turn his back on me, but it seems like the church will. Isn't it amazing that we God is more tolerant with us and helping us to get us to a place where God can use us, but yet, oh, you know, don't do that here. And I'm not condoning sin, but what I'm saying to you is that God wants us to walk in the spiritual and not the natural, not in the five senses. The five senses will get you in trouble every time. He says, for we're carnal. See, envying is a spiritual, is a physical thing. It's not a spiritual thing. Here's the NIV verse. It says, ye are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are ye not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? There was a prophecy that was spoken that I heard on Friday night, and it was given by a young man. And I wasn't there when this happened. This happened some time ago. But this Pastor Jay from up in that area, who will also be teaching the Freedom Experience here on June 22nd. That I want everyone to register for. This is almost like nobody can miss this. It's like if you can be here, you need to be here. It's free. It's going to be awesome. And I know God is going to deliver and set people free of things, and I'm just really excited. But what happens, this young man said, I don't know what this means. He said, but we were praying for revival, and we were praying for God to do great things in our church. But it seems like that every time we began to pray for a church or pray for a move of God, it seemed like that what happened was the angel would come over and destroy, boom, psh, the church. And then in this vision, he also saw that they were praying and believing God for revival and for great things. And then they would see this one church where there was a move of God that had started. And all of a sudden, what you saw is that an angel come over and boom, and destroyed the church. Here's the key, church. There's two things to this. One is be careful what you pray for, because there's a cost. If you want a deliverance ministry, there's a cost. And if you want the gift of healing, then guess what? There's a cost. There's nothing that does not have a cost. If you're going to work in ministry, there is a cost, and you have to crucify the flesh, and you have to do it no matter if you feel like it. Let me tell you something. There's times I've walked in here to 10 people, to 12 people, and thinking, man, I just can't do this anymore. But guess what? I got to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. You know why the angel destroyed those churches? To root out the ones that didn't want to step up. Sometimes the angel destroyed the church to get rid of the crybabies, to get rid of the ones that wanted to suck their thumb. Let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but time is short. There's no time. There's no time. There's no time for it. There's no time. We got to work. And I think right now, and I believe this, and I plead the blood and apply the blood of Jesus over this, that we have a group of people in our church that are maturing in their relationship with Jesus. But not only that, but we're in one accord, and we have a vision. Because what happens is, the reason why sometimes the church has to go down is because out of the ashes comes something great that only God can get glory for. So if he can destroy the Pulse Church and then up out of the ashes he makes something great for Braxton County, then so be it. I think we've been there. But we can't be worldly. I got tires put on Christy's car on Friday. It's a busy day. Busy. Let me give you some advice. When you buy tires, make sure all the numbers match before you leave if you're going to put them on yourself. I leave that place. I'm on a schedule. I've got to be on the road by 5:30, 5 o'clock to get to Weston, and I'm on a schedule. You know, it takes a little bit of time for me to look like this. So I drive down, and all the time that I'm driving down, you say, well, why don't you go to a place that you could buy the tire and they put it on too? I just got to tell you, I know somebody. You buy the tires and you go down the street and you have the other guy put them on for you. So all the time I'm driving down, it's about a 15-minute trip, and I'm driving down the road and I'm just praying for favor. I'm just praying. I said, Lord, I just pray that there's nobody in line and that I could go right in and get these tires done and that I could be on the road and everything just works out good. So I pull in, and guess what? Nobody is in line. I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. See, we think that it's a move of God when we get the close parking place at Walmart. So I pull in. I mean, there's lug nuts going everywhere. It's almost like a NASCAR race. And I'm thinking, oh, this is working out real good. And the guy stops. When a guy stops from productivity, you always wonder what's going on. And he brings me over and he says, this is the wrong tire. He said, you wanted 205, 65, 15s. He said, this one's a 16. My original thought was, it's Christy's car. Go ahead and put it on. So what? One side will lean more than the other. I really didn't think that. What I could have done was taking jacks and throwing them across the room and kicking, and I can't believe what in the world's wrong with those people up there? Blah, 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 blah. And just absolutely go off. Well, here's the thing. If we're going to walk with Jesus, we have to be careful not to walk in our five senses of to the point of saying, well, I could have lost my cool. What would it have solved? Guess what I did? I drove 15 minutes back up the road. I got the tire. And I drove back, still nobody in line. I got the tire on, paid the guy, and I was in Weston at 10 minutes till 7. It started at 7. I could have called the owner, who is a friend of mine, and just said, what in the world is going on with those guys up there? Can't they read? He's not a Christian. The guys that work for him aren't a Christian. Last night we had dinner with our son and Stephanie at the Olive Garden. God is in the Olive Garden. There's an anointing in the Olive Garden to where you can't hardly stand up. It's almost like when you walk in. After that, y'all pray for me because we went shopping. And so we shopped and we got a few things and then we got out of there. I'm walking through the food court. And there's a friend of mine that owns a business there. His name is Dave. My dad knows him. I know him. He used to manage a Chevron station down in Cross Lanes. And Dave and I have been friends for many, many years. And he's the one that told me the joke about the horse with the long face. So I walked through there, and I look at him, and I keep walking, and I said, yeah, that horse has got a long face, doesn't he, Dave? And he says, come here a minute. Christy's already went to TJ Maxx, and she is in a zone. So I'm standing there talking to Dave. And Dave says, I want to show you something. And he takes a bag that's about that tall, and he pours out, no lie when I say this, about 18 medicine bottles. He says, they cannot get my blood pressure under control. He says, I'm taking all, he lays them out on the table, out on the counter. They weren't busy, it was 8:30, he's trying to close, and he lays them out there. Here's what he tells me. He says, I need prayer. He says, I need prayer. What a lot of us do, and I've done this too. Okay, brother, I'll pray for you. And we walk away. And I said, Dave, so let me have your hand. And he put his hand in my hand. And I prayed for him. Just right there. And that's no glory to me. I'm just telling you, we can't walk in our five senses. Because our five senses would get us to the place where, ooh, I can't do that. I can't do that. It's okay in a church setting for me to pray for people, but praying for people outside and no, that's just not my thing. And I prayed that God would heal his body. And to my knowledge, Dave's not a Christian. But at the end of the prayer, he said, amen. Church, we cannot walk in our five senses. We cannot walk. Sometimes we get in too big a hurry and we miss God. And we have to be real careful because people say, well, I'm in a hurry all the time. Well, start sooner. You may miss an opportunity. You don't want to miss an opportunity. Because people need Jesus. And why should we hoard him up? If you walk in the flesh, you cannot fulfill the calling that God has for you. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And this is where I'm reading in Galatians chapter 16, verse 21. Let me go back up to 16. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, understand something, that the first thing people think about when they hear the word lust, they're thinking about sexual over a man or a woman. And that can also be included in here, but it's deeper than that. And let me explain to you why. He says, to not lust after the flesh. That means not to desire the things that are of the flesh, trying to meet that need, trying to be something that you're not. For it says in verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Did you know that there is a competition within inside of your body between the lust of the flesh and the Spirit that's within inside of you? And I don't know if you know this, but there's a series that Christy and I like to watch. It's called The Enemy from Within. And it's a really neat series that we like to watch. But here's the thing. Our enemy is not from within. Our enemy is from without. It's the outer. It's the flesh. This is the enemy. Your flesh will send you to hell if you let it. But our spirit knows to do right and wants to do right. Your spirit doesn't need to be trained to do right. It already knows how to do right. But your flesh, you got to submit it. You got to submit. Guy told me the other day, he says, I did a little marriage counseling the other day. I said, oh, you did? He said, yeah. He said, I told that guy that he needed to straighten up his wife and demand that she would respect him. I looked across the table and I said, you did what? I don't do marriage counseling like that. And I looked across the table and I said, let me tell you something. I said, respect is not given, but it's earned. You cannot demand out of your husband or your wife or anybody that I demand you to respect me. Let me know how that goes for you. He says that, and here's the key. Let me read 17 and finish that one. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. There's that competition and that war. And here's why. And these are contrary the one to the other. Key word. I highlighted it. It's the last part of it. It says, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. So let me read to you again and put it all into a phrase here. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things which you should. What he is saying there is that you cannot fulfill the calling of God in your life if you don't do that verse right. You have to put your flesh into submission to the Spirit. And when you do, then you can fulfill the will of God. You say, well, I don't feel like it. Well, let me tell you something. Your Christian life is not based on feeling. Did you ever wake up and you didn't... try to see how I can say this. You didn't feel like that you were married, and you are married, but you didn't feel like that you were married, or you felt like that something was wrong, and you look at your wife and you say, honey, is everything okay? And she says, yeah, everything's fine. But it's what you felt. You can't trust your feelings because they're not always factual. Verse 18 says this. It says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, then you are not under the law. I've heard people say many times, they say, well, I'll pray about that, and if I feel led. I heard one preacher said, I got led. I got a ball bat. I'll make you feel led. I was supposed to be laughing. You're supposed to laugh at that point. I'll just put it in there and never say that one again. But if you are led of the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, stand to your feet. For the nine-inning stretch, here we go. In the Methodist church where I grew up in, when the choir director went, phoop, that means you stand up. That's so funny. I rebuke the spirit of Swain, you all over this place. All right, here we go. Verse 19. Read it, please. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Thank you. Wow. You want to talk about the flesh? There it is. That's the flesh. Here, read this one. I don't know why that part's in there. I struggle with that part right there. Let me tell you why. I'm thinking, okay, if you're saved, how can you not inherit the kingdom of God if you're not saved? But then those things that are the working of the flesh, see, we have to be careful because we want to inherit the kingdom of God, but these things that we struggle with, I mean, you could go through there, and I encourage you to go home and read Galatians chapter 5 and 21, and go through and read that part. Now, I left this one out. Bear with me just a second because I'm going to find this. Kathy, if you can go to the next, I don't know if you can go to the next little part like I can, but hold on here just a minute. Let me find it. Galatians chapter 5, 21. You can sit down for a minute if you like, please. I don't want to, but make sure you're stretched and ready to go for the second hour of my message. Hold on a minute here. Let me find it here. Oh gosh, bear with me, because I want to show you something. You just got to bear with me here a minute. Let me find it. Go to Galatians 5:22, if you could. Galatians 5:22. Thank you. Now, stand back up. Some of you just look like you're just ready to fall. Okay, now read this one. Okay, understand. What we read a minute ago talked about the flesh. Now, this is what's inside of you. These are the things that are inside of you. Meekness is inside of you. Why? Because it's in the spirit. Murder is in the flesh. Are you with me? Do you see the differentiation between that? You like that word? The differentiation? You see? And when you start acting up, and carrying on, that's in the flesh. And God wants that fixed. He wants you to get that submitted to God, repent over it, and move forward, and then walk in the Spirit. Let me tell you something. It is tough. It is tough sometimes for you and me to walk in joy, is it not? Is it sometimes tough for us to walk in peace? Is it tough for us to walk in love? See, the fruit of the Spirit, it's inside of you. It's growing. Why? Because it's a fruit. Am I the only one that says, wow, that's so cool? Is that not so cool? But why is the church, the universal church, so full of the other stuff? Why is it? This is who God wants us to be. He wants us to love. There are some people, church, I can see them on the highway driving up and down this street that are mad at me over something, and I can wave at them. Guess what? They will snub their nose, but yet they can stand up and they can sing just as I am. Come on now. Is that God? We all have family members that we won't even talk to. We hope to God we don't have to go to reunion for them with them because we don't like them because of what they did. Or there's people in this town that you probably don't like because they took your girlfriend. Hey, they may have done you a favor. Love. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Man, are people joyful today? I talk to people all the time. How you doing? Well, you know. It's almost like John Madden. John Madden, when he would talk, he could. It's like he was like Pac-Man. He could chomp through his whole sentence. It's like, it's like, how you doing today? Well, yeah. Sound like an old bear. Love, joy. How many people are struggling with peace? You need peace in your life. Let me tell you something. You're not going to find it in the flesh. Dr. Phil ain't going to be able to help you finding peace. Let me tell you something. The peace is in Jesus. The peace is in the Spirit. Let me tell you something. When there's no money at the end of the money at the end of the month and you got bills to pay and you say, well, Lord, where's it going to come from? Let me tell you something. That's where the peace of God is. That's where the long-suffering. Let me tell you something. The church today, we're tolerant of people. We don't love people. We're tolerant of them. We have conditional love towards people. I'll love you if you act this way. God doesn't like that. Does the church have gentleness? You do. It's inside of you. Gentleness is inside of you right now. Remember, what's inside comes out. Gentleness, goodness, faith. Oh, man, meekness. You know why I had you read the stuff in the other part? Because I can't pronounce half them words. But I can pronounce these. Here's some of them I can't pronounce. Lasciviousness. You go look some of that stuff up. Meekness. Do we have meekness? Do we have temperance? But the law is under the flesh. But there is no law under the Spirit. I'm almost done. If you want to sit down, you can readjust your laundry. I'm almost done. Bear with me for just a couple more closing comments. I don't know about you, but I sure have enjoyed preaching this message. The five senses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. One of the five senses. Let me give them to you. Sight, smell, hearing, taste, touch. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17 will validate. It says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Church, you cannot walk by sight, because let me tell you something. You know what we've been proclaiming on Tuesday when we rehearsed? We are proclaiming that our church is full. If I stood up here today and I said, I would like to welcome you to the Pulse Church, I hope that you can find a seat. Many of you would say, he's lost his mind. What's wrong with him? But you know what? I see this place full of souls. Well, the crowd was down today. No, it wasn't. You say, well, that's denial. No, because I'm speaking things as though they are. Praying souls into the kingdom. Praying that on Friday night, when the road to Damascus starts, that people will come. They may come embarrassed, but let me tell you something. They'll leave free. You know, in the smell of things, I had to dig a little bit for this one, but Isaiah 65, verse 5, and this is the New Living Translation. He says, yet they say to each other, it's like, don't come too close or you will defile me, for I am holier than you. These people are a stench in my nostrils. Let me tell you something. If you want to worship in the flesh, it's like a stench in the nostrils of God. Because let me tell you something. God can have two things. You can have two things. You can have a gift or you can have the anointing. But let me tell you something. When you walk under the anointing of God, it is true, true flavor to the God of heaven and the God of earth. When we worship him and we're in the anointing of God, it's sweet savior. Oh, I'm pleased with that worship today. But if you get up here with your talent and you get up here and you think you're talented, or you do something, whether it's teaching a class or playing an instrument or thinking that you're good and you're walking in the talent of things. Let me tell you something. God's not pleased with that. He's not pleased with pride. Romans 10:17, King James, it says this. Hearing, it says, some faith, it says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let me tell you something. We go to bed with preaching on in our home. We have a preacher that on our phone, and I walk in the bedroom, and Christy's got a sermon on. And so I hear a sermon. You say, well, you sleep real sound. How do you hear it? My spirit is awake. And there's things that I remember out of that sermon that I heard while I was asleep. The taste, Psalm 119, 103, it says, how sweet are the words unto my taste. It says, yes, sweeter than honey in my mouth. The touch, we have to be careful with what we touch. We have to be careful in that. Genesis 3:3, it says, but the fruit of the spirit, or the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. But yet, one of the senses that we have in the flesh is the touch. We have to be so careful what we touch. There are some things in this world that will burn you if you touch it. We are not called to battle in the flesh. Because Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this, for we wrestle not against the flesh or blood, but against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If you have signed on to be a Christian in this world, this may be hard for you to get a hold of, but let me tell you something, it is a spiritual thing. Father, we don't know what's going on in the town, but we pray over the rescue workers and we pray for whatever's wrong. In Jesus' name, stand to your feet. Go back and review this sermon. It'll be on iTunes tomorrow. Segments of it will be on Facebook later on or tomorrow. And share this with individuals, because let me tell you something. This is what the church, if my people who are called, and he's calling the church to repentance. He's calling us to repentance. Where are you with Jesus? Do you have trouble with faith? Your extreme faith? God wants to use you. God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. That's a spiritual thing, not a physical thing. It manifests itself from the spiritual through faith. Your salvation is through faith. Are you saved? That changes the outward appearance. Where are you with Jesus? If you need to step up with him, if you need to draw closer to him, if you've got something you're struggling with today and you want to come up and pray, I encourage you to do that. Because let me tell you something, Jesus is alive and well in Gassaway, West Virginia, in Braxton County. And he wants to do something, and he's going to use this church. Because you're the church. And I'm the church. We're the church. And Jesus loved the church so much that he died for it. So if you're just going through the motions and posting things that are carnal and don't have anything to do with spirituality, it's time to step up and be that man or that woman of God and get your flesh under control. And I'm speaking to me just like I'm speaking to you, just like God's speaking to us. What's your need today? Would you come? You don't even have to come if you don't want to. You can pray in your seat. But let me tell you something. The altar is a place where things die. If you got something inside of you that needs crucified, bring it to the altar.
soften my heart and break me apart. I need you to open my eyes to see that you're shaking.
Don't control, be controlled by your senses. Don't trust them.
To soften my heart, to break me apart, I need you to pierce through the dark and cleanse every part of me.
Every part.
What do you say? That you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside. I give you my life. It's yours. It's yours.
Yes.
My God, you never will give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside. I give you my. Trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside. I give you my life. May fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, your spirit strong in me. My flesh may fail, my God, you never will. I may be weak, your spirit strong in me. My flesh may fail. My God, you never will. I may be weak. Your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail. My God, you never will.
Thank you, God. I want to introduce you. Letitia McGraw is sitting by the door over here, and she's asked prayer for her son. And if you'd like to briefly know how we met, is that there's been a few times that I've had the opportunity to cut the grass up here this past summer, or spring, and so I'm out cutting the grass, and I'm seeing all these people walking up and down the street, and I'm thinking, this is a wonderful way to invite people to the church, you know, and to share your faith. And man, I tell you, the opportunity I've had to share my faith with people up and down the street. So picture this. It's kind of funny, really, when you think about it. I'll look for every opportunity to get a suntan. And, you know, and I probably shouldn't do this, but when I'm up here cutting the grass and it's hot, I got my shirt on. I'm on display. People are wrecking when they go by. It's like, what is wrong with him? And it's like, I probably shouldn't do it. But, I get hot, you know, and wanted, so she's walking down the street the other day. I stopped the lawnmower. I go over to her and tell her who I am. Is that the truth? Tell her who I am. I said, I'm Pastor John from The Pulse. And I said, I want to invite you, because she had her kids with her. And so she showed up last week. And let me tell you something. It works. Share your faith with people. Invite people. It works. God's faithful, is he not? I didn't have a suit and tie on that day. Sweaty, stinky. Inviting somebody to church. Her son, JJ, is having a MRI done tomorrow, and he's going under general anesthetic. So we want to pray for JJ, Father. We pray in Jesus' name for safety. Pray, Father, Lord, that this procedure, that he's safe, Father, through it. And we just pray that there's no issues. I just pray for peace, and I pray in the name of Jesus for everything to be good with JJ. And I thank you, God, for it. And we worship you, and we praise you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. My dad is having his esophagus stretched on Friday. And, Father, we just pray over Dad. We just pray, Father, that this procedure, Father, would go great, and that there'll be no side effects and no issues in the name of Jesus. My sister Kathy's having a biopsy done. Father, we pray in Jesus' name over this biopsy, Jesus, Lord, and we just feel at peace about it. Just pray, Father, Lord, for your will in that situation, and glorify you and praise you, Lord, for it in the name of Jesus, that everything's all right there. We have a new small group on Tuesday night that is beginning. Extreme Faith. It's open to anyone who wants to be a part of it. It's at 6:00. Here's the reason why it is at 6. Our worship team rehearses at 7. So it will be for 1 hour during this time. Sandy Seal has graciously given her time to watch the children, people who have children, through Kids Club, and they will have something going on with them. So they're learning too. She's not babysitting, she's teaching. She's learning. She's going to teach them. So not only that. And you say, well, it's supposed to be on Wednesday, really. Whoever started that, Wednesday's great with stuff, but sometimes people can't make it. I can't make it on Wednesday because we have our own small group on Wednesday down in Scott Depot, and we didn't want to interrupt that one because that one is intact and things are going well. You know, get involved with Kathy Kishner and what she's doing with the seven seals of seven churches, and that's on Wednesday. And she can take you in depth in areas of learning. See, mine is like teaching faith and extreme faith, but then there are some people like that meat and potatoes, and you can get that with Kathy because she can go deep with you. And so that's on Wednesdays at 7. Megan and Andy, they do a small group on Thursday, and it's around 7:00 or 6:00, and it floats around. It goes from different places. And the thing about it is, you say, well, everybody should all be together. The thing about it is, people work. People have schedules. People are busy. They have things going on. So we just are trying to be able to be led of Jesus, and someone had requested that we have a group, and so God is faithful. So 6:00 Tuesday here at the Pulse Church, open for all ages. Get involved. And then Friday coming up in June, you know, with the Damascus Road. And so just a lot of great things going on. Father, we love you. Thank you, God, for allowing us to have the opportunity to be a part of what you're doing. And Lord, we glorify you and we praise you and we love you and we thank you for it, because it is in the name of Jesus. Amen. Sam, did